Welcome to the podcast today. I am sitting here with David Vaskovich, and I'm excited to get to know him and for you to get to know him and for me to share what we are able to find out about his family. He has a very rich Jewish heritage and some interesting details that our genealogist was able to find. Before we dive into that, David, can you just introduce yourself and let us know who you are, your work, and a bit about your family?
Okay, I'm the David Vaskovich that she's been talking about. I was born in Israel in 1952, 4 years after the country became a country. I moved my family to Toronto when I was 2.5 years old. I was already in charge by then. And so I grew up in Toronto. I lived there for about 30 years. Then I moved to the States. I'm a software person, meaning that I started programming in 1966 before anybody knew there was such a thing as a computer. Although if you read, what got me interested in computers was that I read a huge amount. Okay, just sort of a little bit of family history and you can, or personal history, you can stop me if any of this gets tedious because I like it's crazy.
No problem. So
my father was born in Russia and his family fled the Russian Revolution. So, you know, you read about all these things in history books. For them, it was what they lived through and moved to what eventually became the country of Israel in 1923, which is coincidentally the year my mother was born. But he was already 11 years old. So he moved there speaking fluent Russian because that was his mother tongue. And then he started speaking Hebrew because that's what people spoke in Israel. And then he eventually went to engineering school in France, which even today, France has no tolerance for other languages. So he obviously spoke fluent French to be able to go to engineering school in Grenoble. And then eventually, you know, he learned to speak English as well. Now, my mother was born in Germany. She was born in Chemnitz, which nobody's ever heard of. It's the third major city in Eastern Germany when it was divided. So there's Dresden, Leipzig, and Chemnitz. Chemnitz was the industrial city. And so she ended up, it's a much longer and actually more interesting story, but she moved to Israel when she was 18. So she started out with German as her mother tongue, and then she learned to speak Hebrew. And then I'm not sure how this happened, but she learned to speak Arabic. And then at the end, she speak English. So now we're in Toronto. I've moved them all to Toronto. Come on, guys. I'm 2.5 years old. I can't talk to you, but we're going. And so, you know, for example, I never played catch with my father because he wouldn't have known what that was. Like, people in Russia didn't play baseball and people in Israel didn't play baseball or what we call football or hockey. And then, of course, when it came to what should we talk, what language should we speak at home? Well, it can't be Russian. It's not going to be German, even though each of them had that as an original mother tongue. But it wouldn't be English either. That was kind of an extra language that they learned that they didn't normally use.
Right. So
when I went to school at age 5, I didn't speak a word of English.
Oh, wow.
There I am in school and I don't speak a word of English. So all the rest of the, I thought the other kids hadn't learned to talk and they all thought I was stupid. And add in the fact that there are all these kids who play baseball and play hockey, and I didn't even know what those things were. So I grew up being the odd one. And so I read a lot. And I read particularly a lot of science fiction. Science fiction had computers even back in the 50s and 60s. You know, like you look at Robert Heinlein and Ray Bradbury and Isaac Asimov, there were like computers that could do things that computers can't do even today. And so I sort of, when I, around 13, I started, you know, realizing there really are computers because you'd read about spaceships and there aren't spaceships. You'd read about other things, teleporters, there aren't teleporters, but there really are computers, even though in 1966, nobody knew what one was. So I taught myself to program. And then I wrote one of the first three email systems in the world in 1971. And then I more recently spent 25 years at a company called Microsoft, which most people have probably heard of. And then now I'm doing my own software company called Mylio. And the mission of Mylio is to change the way the world remembers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mylio is one of our sponsors. They're actually our sponsor for the month for July. And so I was really excited when they gave the idea of having their CEO, you, to be on the podcast, because I think it's fascinating. It sounds like you've had a fascinating life and have kind of been at the forefront of technology. So that is very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you introduced your family a bit, because I wasn't sure, you know, when your parents, when they came to Canada, or how that all worked, or that. So growing up, were you aware of the stories of your grandparents or anything? Like, did your parents talk about that much?
Well, the answer is both yes and no. And it's different in the case of my father and my mother, because they had such different kind of childhood experiences. I mean, yes, my father's family moved to Israel when he was 11 years old, and they moved to escape the Russian Revolution and the pogroms. But, you know, he never had to deal with concentration camps or family members being killed or any of those sorts of things. And then when they moved to Israel, they actually started what became the tobacco monopoly. So they became fairly well-to-do. And so the only grandparent that I had, let alone knew, was my father's mother. My father's father died, I think he died of a heart attack, but I don't know for sure, before I was born. But my father had a brother and a sister, and I knew them quite well, and I know their children. So, and I got to know his mother fairly well as well, although I didn't get to meet her until she was basically in her late 80s or 90s. So now on my mother's side, her mother died of cancer. So the Germans are not responsible for that. But there is a picture of 14 family members, 11 of whom were killed by the Germans. So her father was sent to a labor camp, which this was before there were concentration camps, and he got to come home, but he was so broken that he couldn't face other people, and he decided he couldn't bring up his own two children. So he sent his son, who's my mother's brother, obviously, to live with his aunt, anyways, a relative. And he sent my mother to live with his parents. And so she lived with them. And I'm named after one of my grandparents named David. She lived with them until they were sent to not to a labor camp, to a concentration camp. And then she was sent to an orphanage. And then she was sent to a concentration camp. And then the Germans decided to release 100 orphans as proof of the fact that they weren't such bad people after all. Now, the ironic thing about that story is, in every single case, the only reason that these children were orphans is because the Germans had killed their parents. But let's put that aside. So they put these 100 orphans on a train to Italy. And then even though the British were not allowing Jews to come into what was then Palestine, this was worldwide news when this happened. So even the British agreed that these 100 orphans could be allowed into Palestine. And so they sent two boats, and my mother was on the first boat. And then Italy entered the war, and the other 50 orphans were sent back to Germany.
Oh, wow.
I never knew almost any. I knew my mother's brother quite well, but I didn't know any other family on my mother's side.
Oh, wow. Well, good. Well, that explains a bit of the missing pieces that I was wondering where your mother fit into all of that. Okay, well, I'm going to share what our genealogist was able to find about your family. So the genealogist that worked on your family was Kay Prince Hollenberg, and she specializes in Jewish genealogy, Holocaust research, and some genetic genealogy. Her website is kprincegenealogy.com. And so I'm just going to share some pictures here. So if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see what I share here with David on here. Okay, so this is where your father was born. He was born in Poltava. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yep.
Which was part of Russia at the time in 1911, but it's now part of Ukraine. Their family left there, like you said, to go to Palestine in 1923 when your father was about 11, like you said. Here is a couple documents that we were able to find. One, this is a Passover kosher certificate for the Vaskovich cigarette factory. So I put it into Google Translate, and that is that right there. But I just thought that was kind of interesting that we have that document that the genealogist was able to find that shows for that cigarette factory, like you said, that your Vaskovich line was in the tobacco industry, and we have that document there.
Okay.
So then here is your grandfather, Nahum Vaskovich.
No, that's pronounced Nahum.
Nahum. Okay.
That middle consonant is one that doesn't exist in English, so many English speakers, but it's Nahum.
Oh, yes. Nahum. Okay. Nahum. Right. I do not speak any other language beside English, so.
Yes. All right. Dubeck, yep, it is Dubeck. He owned the Dubeck, but Dubeck is spelled D-U-B-E-C-K, but that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So this is just a newspaper article about when he passed away. Like you said, he died of a heart attack, but he died of a heart attack while he was giving a speech in 1942 at this Palestine Manufacturers Association meeting. So that is interesting.
So this is my grandfather you're talking
about. This is your grandfather. Yes.
He died 10 years before I was born. No wonder.
Yeah.
Will I be able to get copies of all this stuff?
Yes. Yeah. I will send you everything that we found. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
yes.
So cool.
Yeah. So most of the records in Poltava were destroyed. So that's about as much as we could find about that line of your family. We'll be right back after hearing about one of our sponsors. Are you tired of searching through endless folders and devices for your precious memories? Do you wish you could easily organize and access all of your photos and videos in one place? Look no further than MyLeo. MyLeo is the ultimate photo management software that allows you to seamlessly organize, edit, and share your photos across all your devices. With MyLeo, you can effortlessly sync your pictures across your smartphone, tablet, computer, and even your external hard drives. What sets MyLeo apart is its unique combination of powerful organization tools and intuitive user interface. Its facial recognition technology automatically tags and sorts your photos, making it easier than ever to find the pictures you're looking for. And with powerful editing tools built right in, you can touch up your photos or create stunning collages with just a few clicks. But that's not all. MyLeo also allows you to easily share your photos with friends and family, whether it's through social media, email, or even printing them out. And with built-in cloud backup, you can rest assured that your memories are always safe and secure. MyLeo is giving Know Your Ancestors listeners a 25% discount off your first year of MyLeo. So go to MyLeo.com/ancestors to take advantage of that. That's MyLeo.com/ancestors to get 25% off your first year. Try MyLeo today and experience the joy of hassle-free photo management and see how easy it can be to organize and enjoy your photos like never before. And now we're back. But we were able to find some more about your mother's line. So here's her headstone. And on this headstone, it lists, it's a little blurry, but it gives the names of her parents on there. And here's a bit about them. So you did talk a bit about her parents and their experience during World War II. But her father was Moritz. I'm not sure if I can say this right. Klausner.
Yeah, that's okay,
So that's your maternal grandfather. He was born in June of 1894 in Zator, which is originally part of Galicia in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, but is now part of Poland. And there's this memorial book, the Gedenbuch entry notes, that it notes that he had multiple concentration camp confinements, including at Buchenwald, I know I'm saying these all wrong, and Dachau, and a final deportation to Auschwitz in 1943. And we assume that this is likely where he was killed, in Auschwitz.
Okay.
So although he had traveled far from his hometown during all that time, he resided in Chemnitz, but Auschwitz was only 10 miles from his birthplace of Zator. And this is recorded on a Holocaust memorial in the Chemnitz Cemetery, information about him. So here is for Sarah Adler Klausner. So this is your grandmother. This is her birth record. So I don't know if you can see that very well there, but so here's her parents are David Mordler. So is that, that's who you're named after?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Rysel Mordler is her mother. So Sarah was born in 1898 and she was in Colomia, which was also now part of Poland, or now it's part of Ukraine. Sorry. Her birth record indicates that her parents, David Mordler and Rysel Scharf, were her parents. And birth records from this time period also provided the names of the mother's parents. So on this birth record, it also tells us that her grandparents were Moses Scharf and Leah Chaige. I don't know how to say it. C-H-A-J-E-S. And so Sarah, she died in 1931 in Chemnitz. And she's buried in the cemetery there. So you said that she died from cancer. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she died before the war even started there. And so then here is the marriage record for David and Rysel in Colomia. So this is your great grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And that indicates that David was born in Sereth, Bukovina, which is now in Romania. And the names of his parents are on there too, Moses Mordler and Shane Esther Wigler.
Wow.
So it tells that Rysel was born in Colomia and confirms her parents' names as well as the same on her marriage record or birth record, sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're kind of flying through a lot of information here. What are you thinking as we're looking at these records of your grandparents and great-grandparents?
I mean, I'm not sure that I have coherent thoughts. It's kind of freaky. It's very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And they definitely did not live easy lives. And so that's a lot to take in.
Makes me want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a memorial for your great-grandparents, David and Rysel Mordler. And this is on the Chemnitz Erstein website. It seems to be like a memorial website that there's these markers that are put in front of their address in Chemnitz. In 1909, the family moved to Chemnitz, and here at Anastrab 18, that's where these markers are. David Mordler ran a stockings and gloves and glove shop. So he later founded a hosiery and hosiery business. And when the Nazis came to power in 1933, the family lost their livelihood. Between 1934 and 1937, David had to give up the business and was then forced to sell his houses. In 1939, the couple were forced to move several times, and they were also ordered to be expelled from Germany as stateless persons. In the spring of 1940, the couple received a place in the Jewish retirement home at Antonplatz 15, which was, I'm sure, not really a retirement home. This was a translation. So it's probably a camp of some sort or a facility. And David fell ill during that time and died on July 28th, 1942.
This is my great-grandfather.
This is your great-grandfather. Yes.
Yeah, that's not, even though the records say that, that's not really what happened to him.
Okay, that could be. This was just on a memorial website, so it's not actually from a record. So what's different that you know?
He ended up, this was what was thought for many years, and then it turns out that near the very end of his life, he returned to Chemnitz.
Oh, really?
And he died there. And Jews were not allowed to bury their dead.
Hmm.
So they buried them anyways. There are three people who were buried surreptitiously in this way. So we know where the three burial sites are. They're like three,
oh, really?
Three next to each other, but we don't know for sure which is which.
Right. Oh, neat. Hmm. Yeah, so David's widow, Rysel, she was, after he died, she was deported to the Therenstadt.
Which was a concentration camp.
Yeah, so she was there in 1942, and then 3 weeks later was taken to Treblinka. So, mm-hmm. And then since then, she was considered missing. So we assume that
she was
died
killed.
There. Yeah. So David and Rysel's son, so your great uncle, Herman Mordler, he was born in 1903. He was married to Erna Anna Brandwein. She was the daughter of Mendel and Mina Brandwein, who lived in Gera until 1913. And Herman was a committed member of the Social Democratic Party and openly opposed the Nazi regime. So a few months after the Nazis came to power in 1933, the couple left the country and settled in Paris. Her son Charles was born there in 1934. The family later fled to Gdansk to take a ship to England from there. And Herman, he had to stay on land and later lived in Latvia, in Riga, Latvia. That's a picture that I got here. And the last sign of life from him came from the year 1940. He was declared dead after the end of the war, and his widow died in 1993.
Yeah, okay.
So that is what we were able to find about your family. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty emotional.
Yeah. So it sounds like you knew some of this information about your family. I'm sure going over that is a hard reminder. Yeah. Yeah. I'm grateful to Kay. When I first started looking at your family, I tried to find some information and things. I could not really find anything. I think because Kay, she specializes in Jewish genealogy, obviously. She's can read Hebrew, which helps a lot. And so she was able to find things really quickly and found all these things about your family. So I'm grateful for her help with this research. But do you have anything that you want to share as you're kind of processing what we've shared with you today?
Not really. I mean, I knew most of this. Mm-hmm. You know, the story about my cousin and my aunt mm-hmm. is a little more complicated than that. They were convinced by other family members to come back to Germany.
Oh.
And my aunt was opposed to it, but Herman basically said it can't be as bad as they say. And then when they realized how bad it was, if they had left Europe when they were supposed to, they would all be alive. Hmm. But the story about two of them getting on the boat and Herman not being able to get in the boat, that's true. So my cousin Charlie, who lives in New York, you know, never knew his father because of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hmm. That's pretty terrible.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and it's sad. Like I've interviewed several people for this podcast and everyone has a story, and some people's stories unfortunately are a lot sadder than others. And it's a sad life, a sad world that we live in. And I hope that as we are more aware of our past, are more aware of our ancestors and their struggles and things that have happened, that we are smarter in the future and that we are more kind, more loving, more compassionate towards other people on earth.
I wish I felt that was true, but I think there's more or less as much, for instance, anti-Semitism as there ever was.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, there definitely is. Yeah. There's
as much hatred. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, it's it is.
Too. Not necessary. Yeah.
No, definitely. There's a lot of horrible things that did not need to happen. So, well, I feel like we need to end on a happier note, but I was really grateful to talk to you.
I'm glad you were able to find all this stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting copies of the document.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know, in the end, my mother was able to find happiness. She lived till 97.
Oh, wow.
So she raised two children and
mm-hmm.
she had grandchildren and great grandchildren. So,
yeah,
you know, that's everything.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, thank you, David, for letting us talk to you today and letting us learn more about your family and share that with you. I'm grateful for your willingness to let us do that. So
okay, thank you for all the work.
Thanks so much. I just want to thank our genealogist who worked on this case. She was so quick and so thorough, and it was a lot of fun working with her. So if you need help with your genealogy, especially if you have a Jewish genealogy or Holocaust research, contact Kay Prince Hollenberg at kayprincegenealogy.com. That's K-A-Y-E, princegenealogy.com, and she can help you out with that. And here is Kay's tip for you as you are working on your own genealogy. This will help you out.
Hi, this is Kay Prince Hollenberg, the professional genealogist who worked on this episode. I specialize in Jewish genealogy and Holocaust research, and my tip is one that always comes as a surprise for people just starting out in Jewish genealogy. So my tip is, pay special attention to tombstones. Traditionally, Jewish tombstones include both the Hebrew name of the deceased and the Hebrew name of their father, with some stones, especially modern ones, also including the Hebrew name of the deceased mother. This can be especially important for genealogy in cases where typical vital records may not be accessible due to privacy legislation, cost, or even destruction. In the case of David's tree, it was finding Shulamit's tombstone that gave me my first jumping-off point to delving into her family, as her tombstone identified her as Shulamit, daughter of Moshe and Sarah.
Thanks so much to Kay for working on this case and to David for letting us interview him. And I am so grateful to you for being here and for listening to this episode. If you would like to learn more about me, you can go to Instagram and check me out at Megan Hillier. I like to share tips and tricks on there on Instagram to help you with your own family history. And thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you could please leave a rating and review, let me know if you're liking the podcast, what I can improve. I would love to hear from you, or just send me an email, megan@knowyourancestors.co. All right, thanks again for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.